Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
We're in our second week of our Written in Red series, and Pastor Joseph preached really well last week, incredibly actually, and just about Jesus. And, you know, I'm a humble kind of guy, and I don't like taking credit often, but this series was my idea. We were in a staff planning meeting and we were throwing some ideas out there. And my thought was, why don't we just talk about the stuff that Jesus said? And, you know, the Word of God is the Word of God from front to back. It's God's Word. But sometimes there's, you know, scriptures of things that people that wrote stuff about Jesus. And sometimes there's, you know, stories about Jesus, the miracles he did. But I thought, why don't we just talk about the things that came out of his mouth? The words Jesus spoke, the words that are written in red in your Bible, the things that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the guy that created this whole universe we see, the words that he spoke out, because I really believe if we can get that in our spirit, we're going to be doing life pretty well, amen? But you know what, for me right now, like all of you, I'm in a season of my life that's a little bit unfamiliar. I'm still learning, I'm still growing, but I'm in this season called marriage, a married life. And I've been in it for roughly 3.5 years now. And I'm still growing and I'm still learning. But one thing I found is that you have to give up a lot to be in a committed relationship. Stands to reason, you know, you go from just your single life, hanging out, doing what you want to do. But then you've got to start to consider this other person and their feelings and what's going on in their world. And these two lives have to merge and it's a mess. No, I'm just kidding. It's amazing. But I've come to learn it takes a lot of sacrifice, a lot of giving up of myself. And in this season of life, if you've been through it or when you get there, there's always one question everybody seems to ask me. And that question is, when are you going to have kids? When are you going to have kids? And I just look at some of your lives and I see you've got kids. And, you know, obviously you can't speak from experience, but I can see your experience and the looks on your faces and the tired eyes. And why don't we just clear it up right now, at least another 2 years, all right? Everybody, stop asking, all right? At least another 2 years, maybe three, all right? But anyway, having kids takes a lot of sacrifice. It doesn't just take a little bit of sacrifice. You've got to lay down your whole life. Can I get an amen? Are there any parents out there? You have to lay down your whole life. And here I am, still trying to figure out how to share Netflix properly. And people are putting pressure on me to have kids. The reality is that when you want to start a family and have kids, is that it takes a whole lot of laying down your life, your desires, making that sacrifice for your kids. The reality is that our relationship with Jesus is not too dissimilar. The relationship that he wants with his kids, you and I, is the one where he lays down his life for us. But the truth is where we lay down our life for him. When we make a sacrifice, when we make an effort to put Jesus first and the utmost important person in our life every single day. You know, when I was preparing this message, we can talk about love, we can talk about the forgiveness, we can talk about the grace of God, and, you know, there's so many great things about Jesus, but I had this passage on my heart that I'm about to read, and I really wanted to come and challenge us today. Is that all right? You know, I know you didn't come to church just to get your tires pumped up, just to get a little bit more encouragement, just so you can get through these next 7 days. I really want to challenge who we are at the core of our soul, the way we view our relationship with Jesus, because I honestly believe it's the best thing for us. Amen? Let me read from Matthew, starting in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. It says this, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?'" Now remember, this is the words that Jesus spoke. This isn't just a good idea. This isn't just some scholar. This is Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm so passionate about this point because this changed my life. When I was a young man, maybe 10 years ago or so, I was kind of sitting on the fence with my faith. I believed in Jesus. I knew he existed thereabouts. He was near to me, but he wasn't my everything. I hadn't laid down my life for him. And the moment I did, I remember this preacher preaching a message saying, you need to be 110% hot or not for Jesus. And I remember that moment. I was just sitting there, just challenged, just self-reflecting and thinking, I haven't given my all. I haven't given my everything to Jesus. And you know, that day I gave my heart to him, gave my everything, and have never looked back. It was the best thing that I ever did. See, this scripture is what a true, authentic relationship with God looks like. A true, authentic relationship. The closest you can get to God is saying, God, I'm going to lay down my life and take up my cross. And you know what? I'm going to follow you. This scripture is quite confronting. Like I said, it's not just about love and about grace and the good things that God can do for you. I want to encourage us, I want to inspire us, but I want to challenge us to get to a place where we can look God in the face and say, God, my life is yours. God, I want to give my heart to you. Take me where I need to go. Amen? Check this out. Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 29. This is where Jesus in the New Testament, he talks about a commandment. And in the New Testament, we don't see Jesus command much of us. He's full of grace. He's full of truth. He's very giving. But there are a couple times, twice, where he commands something of us. And you and I would think that, hey, you know, he's going to ask us to behave, make sure you behave. Or he's going to ask us to make sure you give in the offering. Or he's going to ask us to make sure you don't do this or you don't do that. But God's commandment that he gives to us is incredible. It says, Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. Now this is a pretty famous scripture, but let's have a look at it. If God's got one or two commandments he's going to give us, he's got to make it count, right? Does that make sense? He's got to make it count. But the reality is that all God desires from you and I, the biggest thing, that the biggest priority for God is that you and I would just love him with everything. With our whole life, with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. I read this and I say, why couldn't he have just said, with everything you've got? But God goes to such a degree in describing what he wants from us. And it's quite challenging because you're like, wow. If I have a look at my own life and where I'm at with my relationship with God, I'm nowhere near that. But we're all on a journey and God wants all of us. You know, in Exodus, the Bible says that God is a jealous God. Have you ever read that? Bible says God, and you can think, what? That doesn't make sense. That's not a good thing. That's not a good attribute for God to have. But the reality is that God doesn't want to share you with anybody else. God has such a love. God has such a passion. God has such a desire to be in a relationship with you. He wants everything. He doesn't want to share you with anyone. I think that's pretty awesome. You know, I spoke about being married before, but imagine if you're standing at the aisle and you're facing your loved one, and it's time for the vows, and you're expecting this person to give their all to you, give absolutely everything they've got, they're committing their whole life, et cetera, et cetera. And they get up in there, and they're just like, Jim, I commit my life to you, but only in part. I'm only going to give you a couple of days of the week. I'm not really going to communicate. I'm going to keep some finance over here just for myself because I don't want you to have anything to do with it. We think that would be bizarre, wouldn't we? We think that person's going to get up there and give their all. Tell the other person how much they love them. Tell how excited they are to be in this relationship. It's the same exact thing with Jesus. If we start to see Jesus as someone who wants a relationship with us rather than religion, rather than a guy that's just in the sky raining terror upon the earth, when the reality is God wants a relationship with you, but he wants your everything. Amen? Yeah, right. Come on, let's just have a moment of self-reflection because we're on a journey. And today I want to take us from where we are, just take that next step closer to Jesus, falling more and more in love with him. Do we have any ice cream lovers in the place? Show of hands. A fair few. What flavors we got? I'm a vanilla kind of guy. Strawberry, chocolate. What's that? Mango. It's a bit strange now. Nah, mango's all right. Chocolate. When I go for my vanilla ice cream, I don't just leave it there. I go for vanilla, but then I get some chocolate topping. And then I get some sprinkles. This is why I love going to Cold Rock, yeah? Because you got this whole array of toppings you can put on your ice cream. And I just get in and I'm just like, give me some of that, give me some of that, give me some of that. But every single time you have to add something to that ice cream to make it what it needs to be. Amen? Come on, get excited about that, if anything. The crazy thing is though, being able to being a pastor and being able to talk to people and have these kind of conversations, I sometimes get the idea that people view Jesus as just an extra on their life. They've got their life, they've got their ice cream, they've got the bowl, they've got the spoon, they've got their life all sorted out. They're in this relationship with Jesus, but he's just an added extra. And that's no judgment there. That's just saying the reality of where it's at. And for me, for a long time, that was my life. But I'm telling you, that's a dangerous place to be. That is a dangerous place to be when Jesus is just a part of your life. The reality is that he died on a cross. He laid down his life for you and I, not that he could just be an added extra. Not that he could just be a bonus. God wants to be your everything. God wants to be everything you need. He wants to be everything you want. He is everything you could ever desire. And you know, a dangerous place where I want none of us to hover is that place where we just see Jesus as an added extra. You know, for a long time, I would just treat God as a get out of jail free card. Whenever I need something from you, God, I'll come. Whenever I need something in my life, I'll come and pray. That's when I'll communicate. That's when I'll talk to you. And God's up there thinking, you can communicate with me every day about meaningless stuff. I don't care. I just want to be involved. I just want to be the biggest part of your life. And so God had to teach me a long way. Don't just pray when you need something, because if that's the only way I can get your attention, that's not a good thing. Because God wants to be a part of your life every single day, answering your prayers, communicating with you. Don't have him as an added extra. Get God at the center of who you are. Maybe only spend time with him when you need something. Only come to church when you feel like it. Maybe only give when you can. Maybe only pray when you get desperate. Hey, I told you this would be challenging, but it's going to get us to where we need to go. No pain, no gain, amen? Maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, yeah, I've only laid down certain parts of my life. I haven't laid down my whole life and given it to him. Yeah, I'll come to church on Sunday, but once I hit Monday, I'm on my own. I'll live my life how I want it. God, you can be a part of my family, but not my finances. Yeah, you can be in my life, but my relationships, I'm going to do that my own way. Saturday nights, I'll go out, I'll do what I want, I'll act how I feel, but then Sunday mornings, I'll come into church. I encourage us, I inspire us. Let's see Jesus as the center of who we are, our everything, and not just an added extra. Amen? Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And this is a story of a guy who just comes to Jesus. And I love this story because it's a guy coming to Jesus trying to figure out who he is and what he has for his life and how he can relate to Jesus. And often we're at that place. We're just trying to figure out how to do life, figure out what God wants for us, figure out how God sees us. And so verse 17 says this. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God, but one that is God. You know the commandments." This is the Old Testament commandments. "Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud, and honor your mother and father." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven." And then here again, we hear him say the same thing. "Then come, take up your cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You know, often we read that story and we think it's about money. But the reality, this story is not about money at all. It's about what gripped that man's heart above Jesus. You'd think Jesus say, yeah, this is how you get to heaven, by doing good, by being good, by helping others. And Jesus starts with that because he knows what the man's going to say. But then he says, you know what you have to do? The reality is that you have to just give up everything for me. And for this man, money was in his heart. He had a lot of it. It gripped his heart. And we hear the story. It says he went away sorrowful because he couldn't lay it down and follow Jesus. For you, it might not be money, it might be something else. What takes priority? What takes precedent in your heart of hearts above Jesus? Because God would say, hey, if you want to follow me, if you want a true rich relationship, all you got to do is lay it down and follow me. And maybe you do have a lot of money. And God's not saying you have to get rid of your money. He just has to say you have to prioritize him over it. You have to love him more of it. You know, for me, this might sound silly, but for me, sometimes it's sport that gets in the way. Often I prioritize sport. I put sport first. I spend more time on it. I think about it more than I do Jesus. This guy that died on a cross, laid down his life for me. He's given everything. Well, sometimes God's saying, hey, you need to lay that down. So for you, what is it? I asked you that question today. Maybe you've been in church for a while. Maybe it's your first time. Maybe you're in a relationship with Jesus or not. But I'm telling you, he loves you. He wants that thick, real, genuine relationship with you. I encourage you, don't let anything get in the way. Lay it down, give it to him, and you'll go from strength to strength. You can have everything in this whole world, but if you don't have Jesus, I honestly believe you have nothing. Hope this is all right. You guys are a little quiet, but I understand we're thinking. We're being challenged. God's doing something in your hearts today. You know, I'm not in the army. I don't know if any of you are, but we get this picture of what Jesus is talking about here when he says, lay down your life. It's this picture of surrender, right? Where Jesus is saying, lay down your life, surrender to me. And more often than not, when we think about that, when we see that, we think that is a negative thing. If you surrender your life in war, if you wave that white flag, you're giving up, you're about to get taken captive and you've lost. And so what God's trying to paint this picture is the first part of that's true. He does want us to lay down our lives. God wants us to surrender our lives to him. But the truth is, it's not to take us captive, it's to set us free. I'll repeat that again. God wants us to surrender, but it's not to take us captive, it's to set us free. I don't want us to have this picture in our mind when God says, just surrender your life. We think, I'm going to be captive. I'm going to be bound. God's going to chain me up. It's the complete opposite. Every chain in your life, every struggle, every circumstance you're dealing with, you surrendering your life, you're saying to Jesus, take my life, it's yours. He's going to allow you to burst out of those chains and break free of the bondages that are in your life. You know, this is why we raise our hand in church. Some people think it's weird, because it is. It's different. But the reality is when we raise our hands, all we're saying is, God, I surrender. God, I have laid down my life. God, I give you everything. God, I want you to be a part of who I am. And you know, the moment we do that, we lift our hands and we say, surrender, God just says, you're my disciple. God just opens up the floodgates of heaven and just pours out his blessing on our life. God, I'm yours. Matthew 16. 25. I read this at the start, but I want to focus on the second half of this scripture. And you know what? At the end of this, I'm going to open up this altar because some people in this place are going to want to give their heart to Jesus again. Maybe you've done it before. Maybe you need to recommit. But I'm going to open up this altar. We're just going to pray and we're just going to say, Jesus, I give my life to you. I want that relationship. Matthew 16, 25. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world, yet loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, recently, I was just overseas. We went to Europe. We went to Poland, actually, and we went to visit Lifehouse Poznan, which is super exciting. And we visited a couple other places in Poland, visited some churches, did some leadership and stuff like that. But it was really powerful, and it was a great mission trip, whatever you want to call it. But the thing that I loved about Poland is that the exchange rate was sick. We went for breakfast one morning and we're looking at the menu and this place was nice. It had good coffee, it had good food, and breakfast was $3. Three Australian dollars for a good, it looked like a Melbourne breakfast, it looked awesome. I mean, you pay 25 Aussie dollars for Eggs Benedict here in Melbourne. But over there in Poland, it's like $3 for a breakfast. I got two. Ask anybody. I got two breakfasts. It was so cheap. Why? Because the exchange rate is awesome. If you ever want to go on a holiday, just for good value, head to Poland. You will eat like a king. you will eat like a king. But if you take note of the scripture I just read, there's an exchange happening. There's an exchange between you and God. There's an exchange between you and the Creator. Where God says, if you lay down your life, we're not just going to leave it there. He's not just asking you to lay down your life, but he's saying, I'm going to give you my cross. He says, lay down your life and take up your cross. That is the greatest exchange you can get. Because for me, if it's my life or Jesus' cross, I'm going to take Jesus' cross every single day of the week. The good thing about God's exchange rate, it doesn't fluctuate. It doesn't change. You don't have to worry about what the dollar's doing or the yen's doing. When it comes to God, his exchange rate is there every single moment for you. And this is God's deal. Hey, you lay down your life for me and I'll give you the cross. And I don't know if you know this, but you know what the cross represents? The cross represents freedom. The cross represents everything Jesus did for you and I. You know what the cross represents? You know the reason why Jesus can ask for everything is because he gave everything. Because the reality is that before creation even began, God breathed you into existence. I believe that with all my heart that God created me. And so from day one, God gave me everything. He gave me this life I live. And then that wasn't enough. He came to earth. He died on a cross. He rose again to forgive me of my sins. God has given everything for us. So when it comes to this moment in Scripture, when God asks us to give him our everything, it's so powerful because we know that God's already done that for us. God has already given everything for us. So it's not like God's just saying, hey, give me everything. God's not being greedy. God's not being selfish. He knows that what you're going to get in return is better than anything anyone on this earth could offer you. Let me read this scripture to you. Yeah, come on, let's give God a shout of praise. That's pretty awesome. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says this, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, so for those who don't believe, but to us who are being saved by it, it is the power of God. I'll repeat that, it is the power of God. And I don't know about you, and I don't know where you're at in your journey of faith, whether it doesn't exist or you're on that path. I want the power of God in my life. And when Jesus says, come on, lay down your life, take up your cross and follow me, he's basically saying, exchange your life. Give me your life, but what I'm giving you in return is power. What I'm giving you in return is my power, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And so if we just take a step back and think about that for a minute, it kind of blows your mind. Because us as humans, we can't see the power of God physically. We can't literally take up our cross and put it on our back. We can't, you know, it's not about just wearing a gold chain around your neck. The power of God is something that we have to have faith in and know that is with us every single day of our lives. You know, there's so much this world can offer, but God's power is the greatest thing that I could ever ask for. So you can wake up every morning knowing that, hey, I've got God's power with me. Why? Because I lay down my life. You can go to ANZ and exchange your cash, exchange your money for your holiday, but every single day I encourage you, when you wake up, say, God, my life is yours. And then you know what gets deposited into your bank account? The power of God. And so I know when I'm going through situations and circumstances that are outside my control, when financial pressures come and squeeze in, when relationships aren't going too well, when work gets a bit stressful, when raising kids is hard, you don't need to stress. You don't need to worry because you know that you've laid down your life and you've got the power of God with you. It honestly doesn't get any better than that. That's a pretty good deal. I'm going to read Matthew 26 again, starting at verse 24, but it's in a different version. I want to read it to you. It's in the Message version, and it says this, then Jesus went to work on his disciples. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat, I am. Don't run from suffering, embrace it. Follow me, and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way. My way to finding yourself, your true self. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want but lose yourself? What could you ever trade for your soul? And you know what? For a lot of us, we're in control of our own lives. And the reality is when God created you and I, he gave us control, but he wants us to give it back. And that even saying that even sounds weird. But the reality is that when we give God control of our life, he takes us where we need to go. Because before creation, God had a plan and a purpose for your life. And God still has a plan and a purpose for your life. Come on, you can get excited about this. God knows what he has for you. God knows what's inside you. God knows what he's created for. He knows where you're heading. He knows the trials you're going to come up against. He knows the things you're going to struggle with. God knows everything. Why not give him control? And when I gave my life to God, first time I gave him control, it was a bit of a struggle, but I said, God, take my life, it's yours. God, take me where I need to go. God, I want your power in my life. And this is a challenging message, but I would honestly say to you, knowing what I know and knowing what I've lived, why would you want to stay in control? Because God has more. God has better. You being in control leads to anxiety, because we can't control things external to us, but God can. We can't perform miracles. We can't lead someone else to Christ. Our dreams are in our hands and not God's. You know what he does? He puts hope in our hearts. And that's what the world needs more of. Amen? Hope in our hearts. The thing I get excited about is that the full blessing of heaven is at our disposal when we give our life to Jesus. Because you see, when you give him everything, he gives you everything back. And maybe the worship team wants to come and join me. I just know that, and I'm so passionate about this because I know that when we give our hearts to Jesus, when we give our lives to him, life just gets better. And we just go from strength to strength to strength to strength. And I said it before, but God's exchange rate doesn't fluctuate. Every single day, God is there for you. Every single moment, every single prayer you pray, every single thought you think, every single need, every single desire you have, Jesus is there waiting for you. There's a small catch. He wants you everything. God wants everything that's inside your heart.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my own.